The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Just a few brief words today. We do need to press on to our second rite, our rite of covenant, which we're going to do in a few moments with those who have completed book number 2 of The Journey to Jesus. But there are some places in today's scripture that I want to show you. We continue the story that we started last week in the Gospel of Luke. So would you turn there, please? One of the ways you know which year we are in the Christian year, is by what gospel reading is the primary one. So Matthew, the first gospel, is generally read in year A, Mark in year B, Luke in C. So we're in year C. Every year has the Gospel of John interwoven. But in year C, we look in Luke's gospel for our gospel readings. And this particular passage in Luke 4 is after the temptation of Jesus. So we've had the baptism, which began Epiphany. We're headed toward the final bookend of Epiphany, which is the Transfiguration, where Jesus is revealed as God. But here in the middle, we're looking at the person and work of Jesus Christ. We've had the baptism of Jesus. We have been through the temptation of Jesus. And Jesus comes to Galilee to do some preaching. And that's when he gets into some real trouble. Preachers get into trouble when they preach. In my career, it's usually because of something dumb I've said. By the way, I only got in trouble really badly twice in my preaching. One was when I suggested that synchronized swimming was not a sport. You would have thought I had blasphemed the Holy Spirit, so I better not just go there. And the other one was my critique on some Christian art. But I'm not going to tell you what it was, because there's perhaps someone in the room who just loves those things, and I'm not going to tell you what it was, but not going to say. But Jesus gets into some trouble because he is holy and righteous, and because he is the light of the world. And the light not only illumines, it also reveals motives. The light is sometimes so powerful that it shows what's really behind the scenes. So much so that it shows what's in the heart. And that's exactly what happens here. But I want you to circle a couple of places. I hope you have a pen or pencil, because some things really popped out at me in the last couple of days as I was looking at this whole passage in context. So I want you to go first, though it is not listed in your pericope of Scripture today, to Luke 4, verse 1. This is the beginning, this is after baptism, this is the beginning of his temptation in the wilderness. And it says in verse 1 of Luke 4, Jesus what? Full of the Holy Spirit. So there's a word about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has come down as of or like a dove, and he has been anointed for ministry. HaMashiach, the anointed one, has been anointed for ministry. And he is full of the Holy Spirit, and he returns from the Jordan. And what's the next phrase say? And was led by the Spirit in the desert. That's a very, as I understand it, easygoing translation. In another gospel, the word is cast out by the Spirit. Sent forth in power, even cast out, cast away by the Spirit into the desert. And you know that he has a Star Wars trilogy epic worthy battle with the enemy. Except Jesus doesn't wield a regular sword. He uses his own words. The word of God is sharp like a sword, yeah? And he comes back from that experience, verse 14. Look there, please. Jesus returned to Galilee, what? In the power of the Spirit. Does God's Spirit leave Jesus at any point? No. He is full of the Spirit. He is sent forth into the desert wasteland by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. He returns to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, full up of the Spirit. Now, you know he goes to the synagogue. And when he goes to the synagogue, at first, everybody is really excited. And at least one way to read the scripture here is that they were marveling and saying good things about him. He unrolls the scroll, it's handed to him, and the place appointed for the day is Isaiah. You find that in verse 18. What are the first few words in verse 18? the Word made flesh, the one and only, the begotten, only begotten of the Father, the beloved of the Father, is saying that the Spirit of the Lord is on me, he's reading from Isaiah, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. What is the good news? It's a year of Jubilee. Captives are going to be set free, debts are forgiven, some marvelous things are happening. I'm the anointed one. I have been anointed, HaMashiach, I have been anointed, and here's what the anointed one is saying. I'm inaugurating a marvelous year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolls up the scroll and sits down. As he sits down, he says, just before verse 21 there, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And last week we noted that all the eyes were fastened on him. Remember? The room must have been electric. Just all fastened on him. And then he says, this son of Joseph, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Look at verse 22. What's it say? First word, all. Circle that, would you? All. And before we get to it, I want at least for you to circle the first word in verse 28. What's the first word in verse 28? All. So at verse 22, it says, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. One way to read this is, this is marvelous, and this is Joseph's son. Another way to read it or interpret it is, this is Joseph's son? Isn't this the guy we know? I mean, he's just kind of a carpenter, and this is Joseph's son? The words were gracious, and they all spoke well of him and are amazed at him. Then if you skip down to verse 28, it also says all the people. But it doesn't say all the people in the synagogue were amazed. What does it say?
Furious.
What? What happens in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses? All the people who were once speaking well of him are now furious when they hear his words. The Greek language says full up of anger. I want you to circle that. I want you to circle that little phrase. The phrase is furious, were furious. My understanding is that the original language points to the notion of being full of anger. Now, that really just knocked me when I read that. Because what a contrast. You have the very Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, the anointed one, full of the Spirit. In contrast to these religious leaders who now are what? Full of anger and furious. Verse 29, they got up and drove him out of the town. I want you to circle that phrase. Drove him out of the town. I got to thinking, I wondered if that language was similar to that which we learn about the Spirit leading Jesus into the wilderness. The answer is yes. The words there, drove him out of the town, have to do with casting out. So the Spirit of God who led or cast out Jesus into the wilderness for a time of purposeful trial, for a time of purposeful working out, for a time of spiritual warfare, while Jesus is full of the Spirit, we have this word now, cast out. It says, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up and cast him out of the town. Wow. Does that not just give you goosebumps? The little phrase at the beginning of this passage at verse 14 says, Jesus rejected. I don't know how much more rejected you can get than being cast out of the town. It says, they took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Not that he was afraid of death. He was going to give himself over to death, but the time wasn't right. And I don't have a clue. I don't have a bit more idea in a jaybird what that means and how it works. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. What happens when someone full of the Spirit shows up in your midst and for a moment all speak well of you, and then a few moments later all are furious with you? Is it just about saying that synchronized swimming is not a sport? No. What did he say? Let's look briefly. Verse 23, Jesus says to them, and this is a prophetic word, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. So it could be that they're asking for some sort of sign. Hey, we've heard that you're doing all these marvelous things. Is that what you're wanting here? Jesus wonders. Do hear what you have done in other places. Listen, he says, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Did he just say a prophetic word there? Yeah, because in about 30 seconds, they're going to want to throw him off a cliff. No prophet is accepted in his hometown. Now look at the crux of what he said. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. But Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. Why are they so upset? Why does that bug them? It says they were full of anger when they heard this. Jesus is saying, this anointed one of the Father is saying, I'm here to announce a year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee includes you for sure, for all who believe. But the year of Jubilee is much bigger than just you. The year of Jubilee also includes all those who are oppressed. It includes recovery of sight for all those who are blind. It includes all those who need to have freedom because they are prisoners. Jesus is saying there were a lot of Jewish people who could have used some help during the time of Elijah and Elisha. But what happens? God sent them to cure what kind of person? Gentile people, those who were outside the covenant. The purpose of Israel was to be a kingdom and priests, a light to the whole world, a door through which God's marvelous light could spread to all the nations. In the time of Jesus, at this particular time, it has become a kind of a, what would you call it, exclusive club, where we have put such a guard around God's word and precepts and added to them ourselves that we don't ever want to happen to us again what happened when we were carted off to Babylon. And we have become a kind of an insular people. And Jesus is coming to tell them that the light extends far beyond just you. It includes you, but there's a bigger story here, and they're furious. My mind goes to the time when the high priest says, as Jesus is approaching the triumphal entry, he's going to come and take away our place. And now they're furious, full up, not of the Spirit, but of anger. And they cast him out of the town. Wow. Jesus is the light of the world. And the light not only illumines, but it reveals. And it goes right to the heart. And it shows you the heart. It shows you what you really honestly believe on the inside in the inmost place. Sometimes that's not a pleasant thing at all. So will we allow the light of the world to do that illuminating work in us? What about you and your spirituality? Has it become a kind of an exclusive club that you've walled off and you've got everything so comfortable and I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free? Listen, we belong to another kingdom. And we're living in a time very similarly to this when God would want to use us as a way to reach the nations. And we've gotten so comfortable in the way we live. I'm going to start to meddle in. We've gotten so comfortable in the way we live that we're frightened even to come out of our little Christian hovels to share a good word or to remember that this same Jesus has come for everyone who believe. What an exciting time to be alive. Are we going to be full of anger and fury? Are we going to embrace the fact that the family is much larger than just us? And the light of the world has come to illumine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. I pray that you would show us something in it today we may have never seen before. And I ask in your name that you would illumine us. Show us, Lord, where our motives are selfish or insular. Show us, Lord, where we should be full of the Spirit and yet harbor pockets of anger. Help us not to be full of anger or fury, but of the Spirit. Lord, help us to recognize you in our midst. Help us to fasten our eyes on you and to speak well of you, Lord, even when you give us a word that burns. Lord, I pray for Epiclesis, that we would be exactly the kind of people you want us to be. and that we would be a light to the nations. We would reflect your light to the nations. And we'll be quick to give you the honor and the glory for all of it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.